Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Portable Magic Dispenser, a podcast for your school library, public library, whatever. My name is Lucas Maxwell, and I am the school librarian at Glenthorne High School in Sutton, Surrey, South London. I've been here about 10 years now, so I just do this podcast once a week, 20 to 25 minutes. Things I've been doing during the week, or things that have worked, things that don't work. Just different things. Hopefully it's useful to you. So what I'm going to talk about this week is, surprise, surprise, I'm going to talk about Dungeons & Dragons, something that I was very kind of passionate about, something that I've been using in the library as like a teaching tool, B, as a way to bring in students to the library, and C, just a way to help students who maybe socially, some students maybe they struggle in social situations or they have anxiety and things like that. I'm not saying it's a cure-all or anything like that, but it helps me personally in my personal life, and I know it helps other students based on their own, you know, testimonies and feedback to me and parental feedback and things like that. So it's really cool, and I'm super excited that on Monday, the 12th of February, our students, our sixth form students, our Dungeons & Dragons club, there are seven of them, eight of them actually in this group, will be delivering a unique Dungeons & Dragons event at the British Library. And I'm really excited about it. It's completely unique. It kind of came out of the blue, an idea that was presented to me by someone at the British Library, a really amazing person. And I was like, absolutely. They asked, you know, they emailed me out of the blue and said, would you be interested in doing something like this? And I couldn't believe it, really. The British Library is this kind of famous institution that famously houses every copy of every book published in the UK. And, it is like this beacon of light in central London that people go to research and to learn and to take part in all these different activities. And for them to kind of ask our students to run a Dungeons and Dragons program, and not just run a program, but aim it at neurodivergent youth and to help them. It's going to take place in and amongst their amazing Realms of the Imagination exhibit, which has tons of cool stuff. Like, there's like a hand-drawn map from J.R.R. Tolkien. There's a map drawn by C.S. Lewis. There's notes by Tolkien. There's like props from the movies. There's Studio Ghibli stuff. There's the costumes from The Dark Crystal. There's first editions of everything there on display. You know, there's a first edition Frankenstein, and did I say it right? I know people get upset. It's not, you know, Frankenstein was the name of the doctor. Yeah, I know. Thanks. I don't need that input right now. there's the one of my favorite things in that exhibit. We were super lucky. We had kind of like had a behind the scenes tour of all this stuff. Is this fairy map. It's massive. It's got to be 7-8 feet long, maybe 4.5-5 feet tall. It's, I believe, was made in, I want to say 1912. I could be completely wrong. It's early 1900s. It's hand-drawn, of course, and it's like hand-colored in, and you have to get right up into it. That's what I like about it. You got to get right up into it to look at all the different things that are on it. And it's a fairy map, so it means it's like, you'll see this little tiny hut in the corner, you know, and it just hand scrawled under it in this beautiful kind of cursive as like Peter Pan's house, and like little dragons and fairies and waterfalls and treasure chests. And it's perfect for a D&D person. So the students are making a Dungeons and Dragons event based around the characters from famous books, the event's going to be called The Ballad of the Bookworm's Curse, which was made by the students. The students are helping to make the artwork. They've written the adventure. Okay. We're going to play test it here in the library before we do it. before we run it there. It's going to be open. It's a free event. I want to stress that. So if you are thinking, man, I could really go for something like this, I think the best way, because the URL is quite long from the British Library, I would say you could email me, okay, lml@glenthorne.sc.uk. Okay, lml@glenthorne, Glen with one N, Thorne with an E, .sutton.sch.uk. And just say I would be interested, and then I'll forward you the link. That's probably the best way. I'll also put the link in the notes of this thing, of this, which makes just made that obsolete what I just said, but I'm not going back and retracing it. I'm tired. I'm not going to lie. I'm recording this in the library on a Saturday. Had a really, really busy week in the library, and I'm tired. So that's why we've got that. we've got that mistake. This event to me is like a dream come true. I've been telling the students, you know, I think they're aware of how ridiculously cool it is. You know, you get to like say on a basic level, you did this for the British Library, in the British Library, amongst these like unique items. You are in the spotlight. They're doing it. I'm helping as much as I can, but I'm stepping back. I'm going to be there to support. Not only that, so we're going to have this 3-hour D&D event, okay? You can drop in and play. You're going to be in and amongst these amazing pieces of art and amazing memorabilia from fantasy, Terry Pratchett stuff. I mean, there's a Discworld map there. It'll blow your mind. There's books. There's a D&D exhibit. It's so cool. Okay, so there's that, right? In addition, they have like a learning resource center, or a learning center, they call it, sorry. Learning resource center. That's what they like to call libraries here in the UK for some reason. I do not like that term. I don't like learning resource center. I don't know. It's a library. Just call it a library. Why do I have to call it a learning resource center? Is that controversial? Oh, I don't know. I don't care, really. there's a learning center. And in that learning center, our other students are going to be running mindfulness activities around Dungeons & Dragons. So you want to drop in, you want to create a character, we got you covered. You want to drop in, you want to draw some maps, done. You want to drop in and just roll dice for a sensory, you know, effect, you got it, okay? There's going to be like just basic stuff like D&D word searches, D&D coloring activities, on and on and on. Okay, these are things that for people maybe who a 3-hour session might be a bit much, which I understand. In my experience, you know, an 11-year-old can handle an hour. Although I say that, I don't say handle, but I say that, and I ran a dungeon con for 5 hours, and we had a lot of 11-year-olds, and they were dedicated. So, you know. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Right. So what am I talking about? Yes. Yeah, so if you are in a position, you're in the library, and you're thinking, why should I run Dungeons & Dragons? Anyway, I hope people book this thing up. I hope this thing is booked solid. Please book it. It's on Monday, the 12th of February. It's what they call half term here in the UK. If you're listening, I know, why would you book it if you're in America? But I do have some American listeners. If you want to book a flight, fly to Heathrow. You can get to the British Library. It's right by St. Pancras Station. Okay. Not St. Pancras, as I once called it. I'm sure there was a St. Pancras somewhere. You know, patron saint of insulin. I'm tired. And book this thing up and let our students know that you know, I just hope it's flooded with people. I hope people come in and it runs from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., okay? So, if you're thinking in a library setting, why should I run Dungeons & Dragons? Okay, first of all, it has a bunch of real-world benefits for everyone. I think it can teach valuable skills. I'm very, very lucky. Very, very fortunate that I was just featured in this article on Screen Rant. I never thought that would happen. Dungeons & Dragons reached out and said, well, do you want to be on Screen Rant and just tell them why D&D has helped you? I'm like, yes, please. So I never thought this would ever happen. Anyway, how have I seen it kind of come to life in my library? So I think it's an amazing tool for communication. So it's a social game, so you can't really play it on your own. So in the board game / especially video game context, communication is always aggressive, in my opinion. Not always, but often. Your point is often to kill the other person, and D&D has a lot of death, of course. But the communication is established with the people at the table is usually a non-aggressive way. And if there is aggression there, then you as Dungeon Master need to kind of like stamp that out, in my opinion. Especially in a school setting. They are on the same side. I do not allow player versus player on the table. Unless, I've talked about this before, unless it's built into the story. So we had a situation where a player sat on a throne. The throne was cursed. They had to roll a wisdom saving throw to see if their brain would crumble under the effect of this thing. They failed the roll horribly. They rolled the dice. They rolled like a 2, which meant that they had to attack the first person next to them. And that happened to be a friend of theirs at the table. And I, as the DM, am making it very, very clear that they're under some sort of spell. Their eyes roll back in their heads. They stand up, their eyes, maybe, I can't remember, their eyes shone black or something, or like shiny black, or there was like light coming from their eyes, something about their eyes. I was really, you know, to make us assume that they're under the control of some sort of like puppet. They're a puppet now because of this cursed throne. That is fine. And they find that funny. I do not allow player versus player at the table just because they get upset with someone else's decision. They have their decision, you're going to have to live with that. Okay? You do not attack the other person. And you might say that's railroading, but you may not work in a school setting. I don't allow it. It turns into hurt feelings, turns into chaos. You lose control of the table. Okay? D&D teaches this kind of like non-aggressive communication skills to those who might struggle with social settings. I see it every single day. Dungeons & Dragons is run every single day of the week in our library. I run it twice a week personally. The other students run it every other day. It is the most popular program. So since September to mid-December, I was calculating attendance for our groups. I track these attendance and people who attend these groups very, very closely. We have had D&D. The attendance for D&D was like 1,000, okay? So it was attended 1,000 times in 3 months. No, 4 months, 3.5 months. I'm literally counting on my fingers. In Dungeons & Dragons, you are required to communicate when it is your turn or when you are exploring or doing something. You have to work together to solve a common challenge. It doesn't mean you force someone to communicate, okay? It means they have the opportunity to communicate and contribute. It means that no one is going to make fun of you for your decision. It means no one's going to mock you for doing a voice. No one's going to mock you for making a mistake. Because making a mistake, if you've got a good dungeon master, making a mistake is hilarious. Rolling low and failing is hilarious. Okay? And I don't know how to explain that other than giving many examples, but I don't really want to. It is a bridge. So through their characters, this doesn't always happen in a school setting, but through their characters, you can actually see them communicating complex issues like depression, anxiety, things like that. And adults can actually use it to express past traumas, but it's all done in a safe way. Okay. I have this kind of quote, you know, that I wrote. And going back to, well, not this quote yet, but other skills in Dungeons & Dragons can really flourish, like within Dungeons & Dragons, like problem solving, organization, being adaptable, coping with failure. Because I said failure is hilarious. Even mathematics. On failure, you know, I talk a lot about failure because I fail all the time, you know. And you, in school, young people are often told that failure is the worst outcome. You're taught from day one, failure is unacceptable. Some people. This can carry over into adulthood. Perfectionism is a curse. Perfectionism is a virus. Okay? I sound like I'm like some sort of motivational speaker right here. I don't want to do that. It's kind of gross. Anyone who plays Dungeons & Dragons knows that everything comes down to the roll of the dice. It's a game of chance, but you are telling a story through this game of chance. Okay? That's why failure is hilarious, okay? If you walk around in life worried about constantly making the wrong decisions and upsetting people, if you're constantly thinking that people are upset with you, like I do, it can fill you with like damaging anxiety. It's simply making a decision in real life can be mentally taxing for a lot of people. In my opinion, just my opinion, Dungeons & Dragons can take that anxiety away because we're all on the same playing field and failure doesn't matter. There are no real world consequences to failure. If you're at the right table with the right people, you need to find the right people. You need to find the right dungeon master. If you've got some idiot as a dungeon master, you need to leave that who treats people awfully or makes you feel singled out or makes fun of you in a nasty way, or who, I don't know, is rude, who says no all the time, like, no, you can't do that. That's the opposite of a good dungeon master. And there's a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of those out there. They're always men. They're usually middle-aged men. They usually have a beard. And there's these idiots. There's lots of them. They love the power. DM, that's the downside. Being a dungeon master, you do have this power. But it attracts a lot of frustrated, middle-aged, small-minded men who like to treat people a certain way. And those people need to be removed from the game. And maybe not allowed to play. They need to go out in the real world. They don't really interact very much. I know I'm being very... but there's a lot of people like that out there. Hashtag not all beards, I guess, is the thing. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people like that. But the result, if you are removing that anxiety, you're playing with really good people, your confidence as a human in the real world can grow, okay? Because that fear of making a mistake can slowly dissolve. I can't tell you the amount of confidence I've gained by being a dungeon master with really cool people. It goes the other way as well. You as a dungeon master, you need to have good players. I don't mean good players as in they know the game. I'm a dungeon master for three people, three authors. They are amazing. Two of them had never played D&D before. And that means they didn't know how to play at all, basically. And I don't consider myself an expert at all. So I felt like together we've learned the rules together a lot of the time. And I will stop. Like one of them will say, I want to do this, like in this turn in combat. I'm going to do this. I'm like, oh, have we checked that? Can we do that? I've forgotten. Like, there's not like, no, you can't do it. It's like, just remind me what you mean by that. Or can you remind me where we stood on this? Because I can't remember how it works now. Because I don't know everything. Anybody who says they know everything about D&D is a liar. I've been doing it about 5 years, and that's a very, very low amount of time. Okay? So, it basically, what I'm trying to say is these amazing people, two of them, one of them has played D&D, and I kind of, as the dungeon master, I refer to them for help. Let's look it up together. Let's Google it and see if we're on the right track here, because I want to make sure you're getting the most out of your turn. I want to make sure you're getting your most out of your character. That's what a good dungeon master does, in my opinion. They don't say no. They say, we're going to look it up together. A good dungeon master says, we can try. You can try. Okay? Anything they want to do, as long as it's not hurtful to another player, even in game, right? Well, you can try it. What my group of players wanted to pretend. They disguised themselves as the warden of a jail in order to try to boss other people around and open up the jail cells to let people out, just on purpose, start a riot. Well, they can try. They have to fool the guards that, you know, there's all this stuff. They can try it. I could have said no. That was the most chaotic session I've ever had in my life. There were three different things going on at the same time. We had one person trying to keep the warden up in their chambers, distracted. We had one who was invisible, wandering around, causing chaos. We had another one pretending with a disguise on, a magical disguise on, pretending to be the warden, bossing people about. They needed to get a little bit of information from one prisoner, and they decided to let everybody out and create a riot to create a distraction to smuggle that one person out. I can tell you, I did not know a clue what was going on, and it was probably one of the most fun sessions, because I wasn't ready for anything they were doing. They seemed to be making decisions on the fly and not really knowing what they were doing either. And it was hilarious. I loved it, every second of it. So that's, in my opinion, once you've got a team that kind of like, you are a player as a dungeon master as well, I'm rooting them on. There may be failure because there may be consequences to their actions. There are consequences to their actions. And the roles of the dice may not go their way. It is a game of chance, okay? But playing this game can provide really a huge amount of escape, right? So having a break from our own issues and problems can be hugely helpful. This is from Dr. Megan Connell, who I've interviewed for a book I'm writing. Another shameless plug, but I'm writing a book for the University of Iowa Press on how to be a good dungeon master player. Not how to be a good, but how to be an effective dungeon master for neurodiverse youth and neurodiverse players. So it's like a guide on just ways to make it more accessible. I'm super excited. That's going to be published by the University of Iowa Press in 2025. Okay. So anyway, Dr. Connell talks about how sometimes people, they set their characters up as people that they want to be sometimes. You're role-playing the thing that you want to be, and slowly you do kind of incorporate some of those personality traits into your own life. Also, just having a break from the onslaught that is life, the garbage that we're seeing on the news. And when I say garbage, I mean terror and the feeling of helplessness. It's not hard to find that. This game is a release of that stress in many ways. And I see it with the kids. They are desperate to play this game. They are desperate to escape. Okay? And so am I, and so is everybody else. And that's the sad reality of the real world, I guess. But that's it. I was kind of left on a bleak note, but I really hope you book up and check out this British Library. If you Google British Library Fairy Tale and Folly, or if you just go on Instagram at Lucas J. Maxwell, it's up there on my top post is that, okay? So check that out. I hope you do. I hope to see you on the 12th of February, because it will be really cool. And it's a really unique thing for them to do. And they're super excited and super proud. I'm super proud of them, okay? It's like one of the greatest things I've been a part of in my career as a librarian, I won't lie, because it is like, I don't know, I felt like we started, like, this group was where at the ground floor when I started Dungeons and Dragons. This group of kids, they were like 12 years old or 13 years old. And now they're much older. And we have cobbled this together from nothing. And I mean nothing, okay? We had 6 dice. We had no Dungeon Master screen. And we have cobbled it together from absolutely nothing. So that's it. And the success that they've had and stuff like that and stuff with the D&D has been really cool. So that's it. That's the podcast. And I hope you enjoyed it. And I'll see you next time. All right. All right. Bye.